dreamed I went to heaven, and you were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold, beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing, then someone called your name. You turned and saw this young man, and he was smiling as he came. And he said, "Friend, you may not know me now." And then he said, "But wait, you used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart, 'Thank you for giving to the Lord, for I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave.' Then another man stood before you and said, 'Remember the time a missionary came to your church. His pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. And Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today. Thank you for giving to the Lord, for I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave.' One by one they came, far as the eye could see. And each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices made, unnoticed on the earth, in heaven now proclaimed. And I know up in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but I am almost sure there were tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord. He said, 'My child, look around you, for great is your reward. Thank you for giving to the Lord, for I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. I am so glad you gave.'"
Thank you, ladies. Appreciate the song in conjunction with our special evening for our Workers' Appreciation Night. And it's kind of been an honorary time all day for our workers. And if you serve in a place of leadership and in our church and in a ministry, let me say how much I appreciate you and your service. I want to say on behalf of our staff how much we appreciate it. And I think the Lord appreciates it also of you and your giving. And I want to take just a few moments tonight. I don't want to preach long. I know we have a DVD that we're going to honor our workers here at the end. But I want to talk to you about an important subject tonight. And this is right in line with our character under construction. So we're going to talk about a character quality that filters itself and works its way into servitude. That works its way into service. So take your Bible, Luke 17, if you would please. Luke 17. Let's stand together. We're going to read one verse. Now we'll read some other scripture in a minute, so keep your Bible handy. We'll go to some other scriptures in just a moment. Luke 17, verse 10. Jesus, we're not going to read the previous verses just for sake of time, but Jesus is talking about servitude. He's talking about service. He's talking about servants doing that which was commanded them without expecting anything in return. He said, why should you get something in return when it's something you ought to be doing? You ought to be doing something anyway. Listen, you don't reward a child for telling the truth. Okay? They're supposed to tell the truth. You don't get your children home and say, listen, did you steal anything from the grocery store today? No? Okay, here's a dollar for you and a dollar for you for not stealing today. You don't reward somebody for doing what they're supposed to be doing. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. And look at verse 10. He says, so likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you. Notice what he said. Here's what we need to say. We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. Do you know that the least that we could do, the scripture places it, Paul said, it is our reasonable service. It's the least that we could do because of what Christ has done for us. The least we could do is try to find some place to give back. Some place to give back to God in some shape, form, or fashion for what He's done for us. You say, preacher, I don't have a whole lot of talents and abilities. Well, you know what? You fit right in line with the person God can use. Because normally people who have a bunch of talents and abilities think that they're more important than what is needed around the church. So if you say, I just don't know how much ability I've got, then listen, get in line because you're right on target to be used of God. But I want you to notice in this scripture here, he says, we are unprofitable servants. Serving whether we get anything in return or not. Now let me tell you how good a God we have. Even though we may not expect anything in return, He's going to give you something in return anyway. He's going to give you something in return here by His favor and blessing. But listen, wait till you get to heaven. Hey, listen. That's where, listen, if your treasure's there, if your heart's there, that's where your treasure will be also. Listen, what all I'm saying to you tonight is this. There's an ingredient that goes in with an attitude of being an unprofitable servant, and that's humility. It's humility. And so I want to talk to you just a moment tonight about honing humility. How do you put an edge on it? Because that's what makes up Christian servants. People who are humble before God. Father, bless our short time that we have together tonight in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You can be seated. To hone something is to sharpen it or put a fine edge for service. For instance, I have a pocket knife that I carry with me. And if you're like me, I use my pocket knife for just about everything. I've cut electrical wire with it. I've cut cardboard with it. I've done different things with it. I'm trying to think what's the word. I'm whittled. There you go. I've whittled wood with it. Now listen, certain things dull the edge of my knife. For instance, it's so dull right now, I can just run it across my hand like not as dull as I thought it was. No, but it's so dull right now I could run it across my hand, not even cut me. You know why? Because the edge needs to be honed. It's dull right now. You see, there's nothing worse than trying to cut something with a dull edge. There's nothing worse than trying to get a job accomplished with an edge that won't cut, with an edge that's dull, that hasn't been attended to. You see, a sharp edge makes a smooth cut. A sharp edge makes a clean cut. But a dull edge, you know what it does when you try to cut something? It doesn't cut, it tears. It doesn't cut. What it does is it rips. And it messes up the purpose of what you're trying to do. Any of you ladies ever gotten a pair of scissors before? And you get there and you think, man, live, you've got your line all lined up, you know, and you've got it up. And you think, man, I'm going to cut a straight edge. You begin to cut through there. Or if you're like me, you know, guys, hey, I figured this out because I watched my wife do this one time. It works like a charm if the edge is sharp. I took the scissors, you know, Brother Caleb, instead of doing this, I just got that thing. I watched her do it one time. You know, if you take that thing tight, you can just take those scissors and go. I learned that. Hey, I've been watching. Because you know how I was doing it, Mrs. Swinton, all the time? I was doing this. Too much work. So I took those scissors with a sharp edge. Man, you can just rip that paper right on down. And listen, I did that one time. I thought, well, listen, it worked for me once. It'll work twice. Problem is, the scissors had dulled by now. So I had the thing drawn out like I wanted. I had my line. I got my scissors. I thought, boy, you know what? It worked for me the last time. It's going to work this time. Problem, the scissors were dull. So I got that thing, and I got about 3 foot. And boy, I had some momentum going. And then all of a sudden, the unhoned, dull edge kicked in. And you know what happened to my pretty little picture? It ripped. It tore. And man, I'm looking out crying over my picture of Bambi and all those things that I couldn't believe it. But listen, everybody has been there. Now, let me just say something. You know, many of you ladies, Sunday school teachers, you cut out letters for your bulletin board. And there's nothing worse than having a dull pair of scissors to cut it out and the edges are jagged. It just looks sorry, doesn't it? It just looks unkept. It doesn't look like it. It just looks like I didn't spend the time to do what's necessary. And I think, by the way, God deserves our best, right? You see, if there's not a smooth edge and you're trying to cut two pieces of paper, you're trying to cut something, teachers, for your Sunday school class, and the edges are not straight and you're trying to put those edges together, it's all messed up. But you know what causes that? A dull edge causes that. An unhoned edge causes that. You say, preacher, what's the application? Here's the application. Our service for God is our ordained tool to get the job done. It is our job to keep the edge honed. It's our job to keep it fine and keep it sharp. You see, at home, I got two types of stones. I got a wet stone, and then I got a honing stone. And the honing stone has a fine grip. The wet stone has a coarse grip. Now that's for my knives that I tried to cut concrete with. All right? But for a pocket knife, I've got a real fine honing stone. And boy, I can take that. I'm telling you, I can almost, if I get the edge on that thing just right, I can almost take a hair and split that thing with my knife. Our job as a servant, our God has given us a job. He's given us a purpose. And to attempt to accomplish that purpose, church, and that ministry with a dull edge is not going to cause a smooth cut to happen. We're going to tear, we're going to rip, and we're going to mess up whatever we're involved in. You see, the smooth edge of our Christian service is humility. That's what I think Jesus was incorporated when he said, an unprofitable servant. Someone not expecting anything in return. Listen, the continual application of humility on rough material can dull your edge. You see, I'm looking out over the congregation of some people tonight that used to be in service around the church here, no longer in service. You know why? Because the edge got dull. Because what happens is because the edge continued to get dull and you kept trying to serve and kept trying to serve, and finally you got to a point and you said, listen, I can't do this anymore, so you backed out. Because the edge of the humility, the humble spirit, now the edge has turned to jagged. It's tearing. It's unattractive. It's hurtful. And listen, that's what will happen with your humility. That's what will happen with a humble spirit. Because what happens is that edge is going to have to go through and do a lot of cutting. See? It's going to have to be exposed to a lot of different things. You see, this edge can be recovered through a process called honing. Now listen, I'm not the greatest in the world at sharpening and putting edge, but I can do it. And I can, but it takes time. Nice and slow. Nice and slow. But you know, after a time of contact over and over and over again. And again, I can put that edge back on there. But listen, once that edge is back on, brother, I'm back in business again. I can do take my knife and use it for what it was designed to be. But if I'm going to sharpen the edge, it's going to take a continual process. I'm just saying, I'm looking tonight at servants of God who've allowed some of the edge to become dull. That humble spirit, when you used to come to the altar and fall on your face before God, don't do that anymore. You hear what I'm saying? Don't do that anymore. Why? Your edge is dull. You've allowed all of the things of life that you've had to work through. You said, preacher, I had given. Preacher, I had given, and I don't see any results. You know what? You've allowed your humility, the edge of it, to become dull. You see, what I'm saying to you tonight, that's the very thing I believe the Lord was trying to say here. He says, after all you've done, after everything that you've done that I've commanded you to do, say, we are unprofitable servants. We are unprofitable servants. You see, I'm looking at servants tonight who used to teach Sunday school, serve as an usher, work in the nursery, go out soul winning to reach the lost. Hey, I see some who used to sing in the choir. Amen. I see some that used to greet visitors and look for ways to be a blessing around the church. You say, preacher, why just does that seem to stop from time to time? Your edge is dull. You see, the thing about it is the humble part, the humility part in your service has become dull, and so there's no motivation in order to get it done. What's happened? It's just the edge is dull, but it's affecting your zeal. The edge is dull, it's affecting your service. The edge has become dull, it's affecting your relationship with Christ. Hey, listen, folks, see this pocket knife? When the edge gets dull, I don't throw the pocket knife away. You don't just throw your class away just because the edge gets dull. You don't throw your bus ministry, you don't throw your bus position away just because the edge gets dull. You don't drop out of the choir just because the edge gets a little dull. What you do is you take a stone and make contact with the edge, put the edge back on. That's what you do. You don't take the knife and throw it away. Oh, by the way, that knife costs some money. I ain't going to throw it away and keep spending a bunch of money when I've got a stone at home that I've already paid good money for. And listen, all I got to do is make contact with it. Over and over and over, and it'll put the edge back on there. Now let me give you a few things here that dulls the edge of humility in our service. First of all, cutting through unseen circumstances. You see, folks, listen, there are things going to happen in your life. You can say, that's not fair. And you're probably right. It probably is not fair. But you're still going to have to use what God's given you. You're going to have to cut through it. Okay? You're going to have to use the humility and the humbleness of God, and you've humbled yourself, and listen, you're going to have to cut through it. Sometimes it dulls the edge when you have to cut through unforeseen circumstances. Sometimes what dulls the edge is cutting through sudden hurts and heartaches. Maybe a tragedy. Maybe a situation's come and your service has dulled out. Maybe the humble spirit now has kind of become dull and it hasn't have a honed edge on it and it's not sharp anymore. It may be because of hurts that you've had to cut through and heartaches that you've had to cut through. It may be cutting through manipulation by family and friends. Hey, listen, every child, every born-again child of God has been manipulated at one time or another over something. And you know what you've had to do? You've had to show a Christ-like spirit. And listen, you do that over and over and over again with family and friends. Pretty soon, if you're not careful, if you're not keeping that edge honed, it gets dull, my friend. And the next time somebody happens, the next time it's not going to be a smooth cut, you're going to rip somebody. Why? Because you've lost the edge. And that's what happens. And cutting through manipulation by family and friends, how about cutting through disappointments of fallen believers? People fall away. They get out of the will of God. They go here or there, and we're like, man, I just don't understand. What's wrong? They were such good people. Blah, blah, and we go on and on. And if you're not careful, we get so involved that they've gotten away that we allow the edge to dull. And we forget about what our purpose is. How about cutting through time of unanswered prayer? You ever been there? You ever been on your face where you've prayed and you've prayed and you've cried? You've picked your eyeballs up several times and put them back in. You've cried so much. You've begged God. You've gotten on your face. You've rolled around on the floor. And you've done that for weeks, months, maybe even years. God still hasn't answered. You know what? That humble spirit has been cutting through that unanswered prayer over and over and over. Listen to that. If you're not careful, you won't make contact with the honing stone. And you'll let that spirit get dull, and pretty soon you'll stop praying for what you were praying for, and it may be for the souls of some of your family members. Don't let it happen. You see, just as cutting through coarse material will dull the knife quicker than anything, so will cutting through these types of things in life that you're going to face. A dull edge doesn't mean a wasted life. It just simply means that it's a sign that there needs to be some honing done. It's just a sign that you got a dull edge and I can do something about it to put the edge back on. You say, okay, preacher, what do I need to do? All right, are you ready? I'm going to try to get this done in 10 minutes. Here we go. How do you hone the humility in order to continue to serve God, in order to continue to keep a humble attitude in our service? Well, first of all, take your Bible, go to James chapter 4. Go to James 4. Let's take a look at them. James 4. Right? James 4. Listen to what he says. He says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Did you notice that? It says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. James 4:10. You say, well, what's the honing skill here? What do I have to do to keep the edge on my humble spirit and in my service for God? Here it is. First of all, keep God in His rightful place of authority. Always keep God in His rightful place of authority. You see what I'm saying to you tonight, church? The previous verses that lead up to verse number 10 tell you what you have to do in order to keep God in His rightful place. Go back to verse 7. Look what it says. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. That submission is just simply acknowledging, Lord, You have all power. Lord, You have all authority. Lord, I've been bought with a price. I'm not my own. I'm Yours. You see, that's how you keep the edge of humility honed in your service, is by keeping God in His rightful place of authority. Submit yourself. Look what else he says. How about resist the devil? Resist the devil. Listen, you find me somebody that's on their face before God that has a sold out, submissive, committed spirit and a humble attitude before their God. And listen, they're fighting the devil tooth and nail as well. You show me somebody whose edge has dulled in that area, I'll show you somebody that's about to get gobbled up. Because they've allowed the edge to get dull, and all of a sudden the enemy comes and they start taking that their time of service to try to cut through that, and all of a sudden it just doesn't work. He said, "Submit yourself, resist the devil." Look at number 3: draw nigh to God. I remember as a kid, we used to have these little magnets, and we'd put whatever that little, that metal dust or whatever it is, you know what I'm talking about. You put that out there. And we used to have a magnet. And I noticed that the closer that the magnet got to the dust and stuff, the more the dust began to come to the magnet and begin to stick to the magnet. And the closer I got, the more that stuck. And the closer I got, the more that stuck. And listen, by the time I got in, it was all on the magnet. You see, the thing about it is, as the magnet drew closer to it, it drew closer to the magnet. God says, I am your magnet. He said, I have all power. I have all authority. I have all love. I have all compassion. I have all long-suffering. He said, I have everything. I am your magnet. Draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh to you. That's how you keep that edge honed. Look what else He said. He said, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Now, I'm not going to ask you this. This is probably a little personal. Or ask you to raise your hand. But, you know, most everybody in here went to the men's or ladies' room tonight, got some soap, run some water on your hands and washed your hands and got your hands all clean. You thought, man, my hands are clean. I could lick them right now. They're so clean. And then here's what we do. Then we come out and shake hands with everybody. Amen. And then we go. You know, after we just washed our hands. Now, God says, listen, if I'm going to keep the edge honed on humility and service, I'm going to have to keep my hands clean. He said, cleanse your hands, you sinners. I'm going to have to, folks, spend time confessing my sin. I'm going to have to spend time on my face confessing before God that, you know what? He's right, I'm wrong. Folks, that's usually what takes place with a regular visit to the altar. Hey, can you see this right here? There's nothing down here. There's no poison down here. Hey, there's nobody down here waiting to put a noose around your neck. There's nothing down here but the grace of God waiting for you. You say, listen, I don't need the altar. I don't need to come forward. That's our problem. The edge is dull. We don't visit the altar enough. Say, preacher, I can just do it sitting in my pew. Okay, fine. I can also sharpen my knife in my truck, but I'm not going to do it while I'm driving. He said, cleanse your hands. Look what else he said to do. He said, purify your hearts, you double-minded. Purify your hearts. You know what we're supposed to do, Christian? We're supposed to abstain from all appearance of evil. He said, purify your hearts. Listen, you find me a humble child of God and a humble servant, you know what? That church, that person's made a covenant with their eyes before their God. That person's made a covenant with their ears. That person's made a covenant with their lifestyle before a thrice holy God. Listen to me, you know what? They're continually honing the edge of humility. That's the reason they're still serving. That's the reason we got people in our church been teaching Sunday school for 30 years. You know what they've been doing? Honing that edge. That's what they've been doing for 30 years. Honing that edge. You see, humility begins with acknowledging our God as supreme authority over every area of our life. So I said, first of all, if we're going to keep the edge honed, we're going to have to keep God in His rightful place of authority. Here's the second thing. Go to 1 Peter 5. Go to 1 Peter 5. Y'all believe in grace, don't you? I've been going 8 minutes, so you'll give me some grace. Okay? 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5. Look at it. Look what he says in verse number 6. He says, humble yourselves. Listen, a while ago, he said, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Now here he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. So one place says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Keep God in His rightful place of authority. Here, He says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Here's the second thing, if you're going to hone humility, not only do you need to keep God in His rightful place of authority, listen, here's number two, keep yourself in your assigned position as a servant. God's in His position as authority. You keep yourself in your assigned position as the servant. That's what we are. We are to be unprofitable servants. You see, this is a common struggle with most people because we struggle with this principle. Listen, in every facet of our life, we struggle with it in our family as far as leadership and who's on the authority and what our place is, what daddy's place is, what mama's place is, what the kids' places are. By the way, if you'd have been here at Men of the Word Conference, Brother Angel addressed that very subject. Okay? That's the reason we're in a mess. That's the reason we're in chaos today. Because you know what? We got authority in a home. They're ruling from the bottom up. The kids are running the home. Amen? Hey, I'm just saying, listen, all I'm saying to you tonight is keep yourself in your assigned position as a servant. Can I say to you that the greatest Christian servants are humble servants. Jesus, turn if you would there in Matthew 5. Jesus gave three examples. I mean, right back to back. 1, 2, 3 in His Sermon on the Mount. Look in Matthew 5 and look at verse 39. Three things. I mean, point blank illustrations of a humble spirit, of a person that has the humility of God on their life. Look at them. Matthew 5, verse 39. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, what are you to do? You know what that takes? That takes humility. That's someone that's angry at you and takes advantage of you. And you know what? Instead of you getting angry or you lashing back, what you do is you turn the other cheek. They don't know what to do about that. Paul said and tells us, you know what that's like? That's like heaping coals of fire on their head. They slap you on the right cheek. You say, here, I got another one right here. Slap it right there. They don't know what to do. You see what this? That's humility. That's humbleness in service. You know a person that can do that? That's a person with a sharp edge. That's a person that doesn't have a dull edge. Notice what else he said. Look at verse 40. And if a man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, listen to what you're supposed to do. Let him have thy cloak also. You know what that takes? It takes humility. That's a person with a honed edge. That's a person with a sharp edge. Look what he says in verse 41. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him how many? Twice. Now think about this. If you go with him a mile, that's law. You go with him second mile, that's grace. Keep in mind now, you're 2 miles from where you started. So I walked 2 miles, now I'm going to walk 2 miles all the way back. Just to be where I started from. You know what that requires? Humility. That's what that requires. And Jesus hit them 1, 2, 3 examples of humility taught. But the greatest Christians are humble servants. We don't have time to turn there, but in Matthew chapter 23, remember, the question came, who was greatest? He says, I'll tell you who's the greatest among you. He said, whoever's greatest among you, let him be your servant. That's who's greatest among you. The greatest Christians are humble servants. Listen to me. The safest Christians are humble servants. He says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Now listen, if I'm under his hand, that means his hand's here, and I'm under here, that means there's nothing to get to me. You see, humble servants are the safest Christians are humble servants. They're under the mighty hand of God. Psalm 91:4, under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. I like that, don't you? Not under his hand, God said, come on under my wing. I got protection there. Can I say to you next, the happiest Christians are humble servants. The happiest Christians. Go back to 1 Peter 5. Did you notice there, if you read ahead, right there in 1 Peter 5, he says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Listen to this. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know what happy servants do? Happy servants cast off their cares on Jesus. Happy servants take upon themselves the yoke that Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. Why? Because his burden's light. Matthew chapter 11. And a happy Christian doesn't try to bear the whole burden by himself. Doesn't. Are you still there in 1 Peter 5? I'm going to give you this, okay? We're talking about spiritual clothing here. I said the greatest Christians are humble servants. The safest Christians are humble servants. The happiest Christians are humble servants. Listen to me. And the best dressed Christians are humble servants. You see what he said in verse 5? Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Hey, best dressed servants are humble servants. Because they're clothed with humility of mind. That's the reason Romans chapter 13, verse number 14, says we're to put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 6, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. Sounds to me like we're supposed to dress up as a servant. So I said, honing the humility edge. Keeping God in his right place of authority. Keeping yourself in your assigned position as a servant. Let me give this last one real quick. Go to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Acts 20, real quick. Acts 20 and verse 19. Acts 20 and verse 19. Paul called the elders of the church at Ephesus together. He was beginning to share some things with them. And then he comes to verse number 19 and he says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying and weight of the Jews. Now he's speaking this to others. He's speaking this to the elders there. And here's the third thing. If you're going to keep your humility honed, not just keep God in his rightful place of authority, but keep yourself in your assigned position as a servant. Listen now. Here's the third thing. If you're going to keep it sharp, keep others in their designated place of importance. Who did Jesus come to die for? Others. He came to die for souls. Hey, listen to me. Let me say this. Others are not to take the place of God's authority. Others are not to take your place in your relationship with the Lord. Others are to be your ministry. Others are to be your ministry. So if my edge is going to stay honed and my humility is going to stay in its right place, if I'm going to have a character trait of humility in my service and conforming to the image of Christ, I'm going to have to keep God in His rightful place of authority. I'm going to have to keep myself in my assigned position as a servant. Listen, and now I've got to keep others in their designated place of importance. Now listen carefully. Honing the humility edge of your service will keep you serving God for the long haul. You let the edge get dull, you won't serve God long. You see, disregarding the edge, it's going to cost you dearly when you face God one day. When humility is not present in our service, then there's tearing and ripping and jagged edges. We can be hurtful without humility, or we can be helpful with it. Continuous honing is required. Here's one last verse, Hebrews 2:1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. You know the difference between a servant of God today that's been serving for the long haul and someone that serves a few months or a year and then quits and never serves again? It's the edge. It's the edge of humility. It's not keeping it honed. It's not keeping it sharp. Because your humility, that humble spirit, will be always tested. Always. And yet, isn't it Christ-like to keep our edge sharp so that we can serve people, so that people can see Christ in us? That's what service is about. That ingredient, keeping the edge sharp. And tonight, if you used to serve, or you used to sing in the choir, or you used to work in the nursery, and you've dropped all of that because the edge has got dull, maybe circumstances came up, maybe heartaches came up, listen to me. Let me ask you to do something. Go home tonight. Take the Word of God, do some honing. Get that edge sharp. Get on your knees with God and sharpen the edges. And I think once you get the edge sharp, you get it restored. Listen, you know what you'll do? You're back in business again. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Heads bowed, eyes closed. How many can say, preacher, I'm saved, no question about it, I'm a child of God.